Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score, and we are here for another unexpected second episode this week. I mean, it wasn't in the plans at the start of the week, but when I realized how many players that I wanted to discuss from my early 2024 redraft rankings, I kind of thought that it just made sense to break it up into two shows. It lets me spend a little more time on it, that we don't have to rush through anything, and that's what we're doing. So if you haven't already, you can go back, listen to Wednesday's show. I went over my thoughts on quarterbacks and running backs heading into this offseason. Today, we're going to do the exact same thing, but we're going to do it for receivers and tight ends. So let's kick it off with receivers here. And at the top, little competition. I mean, hard to go against Tyreek Hill as the number one wideout. Led the league in receiving yards. Was tied for the league lead in receiving touchdowns. Just an absolute weak winner at any given moment. So I'm sticking with Tyreek at the top. But Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, they are not far off here. Jefferson, he's coming off this injury-riddled year that he had. Still cracked 1,000 yards, though. Did it in just 10 games and did it without Kirk Cousins for a good chunk of that time. So Jefferson could easily be the number one receiver, as could CeeDee Lamb. I mean, he took his game to a whole new level this season, led the league in receptions with 135, really pushing to be included in that conversation with the best young receivers in the game alongside Jefferson and Chase. And I think he should be there. And it wouldn't surprise me really to see any of these guys finish with their fantasy receiver crown in 2024. Chase, I mean, he's going to get a boost. T. Higgins could leave in free agency. That means that the targets could increase a lot for Chase this season. And he probably will be more efficient too if we have Joe Burrow healthy out there for the whole year. And let's remember too, it was Chase before the season who suggested that Burrow should maybe sit out a couple games at the start of the year, let that injury heal up before playing. And Burrow just tried to power through it. He wasn't himself. Eventually, that led to the re-injury and ultimately to the early end to his season. So listen to Chase next time. He's going to continue to be one of the stars in that Cincy offense and one of the best fantasy assets out there. And really, you can't go wrong with any of those receivers that I just mentioned. You also can't go wrong with Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I have next. 119 catches, over 1,500 yards, double-digit touchdowns. One of only six receivers this year to average more than 10 targets per game. St. Brown, just a surefire wide receiver one. So is A.J. Brown and the Eagles, and he dealt with some injuries this year. That put a bit of a damper on the end of his season. He missed that wild card game that the Eagles lost, but this is a guy with six straight 100-yard outings at one point this year. That's the kind of player he is. We're just going to have to watch because it did seem like he was a little upset with things a few times this season, especially at the end. So just something to monitor in case that honeymoon in Philly is over, but I'm not really concerned about it. I expect that he's going to be back out there and he'll be producing for the Eagles in 2024. Just a little mental note to watch that relationship between Brown and the Eagles. After him, it's Puka Nacua, and we don't really have to say much here. I mean, he comes in, he sets multiple rookie records, most receptions, most receiving yards by a first-year wideout, basically steals the lead receiver job from Cooper Kupp in that Rams offense. So no arguments that he's a locked-in wide receiver one in fantasy, and really might even be too low in my rankings at wide receiver seven. Then I have Garrett Wilson at wide receiver eight, and if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know how I feel about him talent-wise, dedication-wise, leadership-wise. He belongs among those top young wideouts. He just needs a quarterback to help him get there. So we hope that Aaron Rodgers was going to solve that problem this season. Then the Achilles injury prevented that from occurring. But if Rodgers is out there in 2024, which I expect him to be, then Wilson is going to just be a monster for fantasy, and he'll be on every must-draft list that I make during the offseason, just like he was last year when we thought that it was going to happen for him, but the QB injury prevented it, and he still ended up having a 95-catch season, went over 100 yards, despite that insanely bad quarterback play in New York. So I can't wait to see what he can do, even with just average QB play in 2024. Couple veterans next here, Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams. Diggs is going to be 31 this season. Adams is going to turn 32 in December. Still great receivers. Diggs trailed off a little bit as the year went along, and the same kind of thing happened the year before, and he's still playing in the postseason, so maybe he'll right the ship before it's all said and done, but I've wondered if he's playing through an injury for a while, something maybe bothering him more than at least the team's letting on. We're also going to need to be mindful of age-related decline. You know, that could be creeping up on these guys, but both Diggs and Adams, they're elite wideouts, so I don't expect them to fall off just yet, and Adams will hope that he can get a better quarterback in there on the Raiders or can maybe push to be traded somewhere else where there's going to be better quarterback play. And there's been lots of speculation that the Jets might try to go get him and try to pair him back up with Aaron Rodgers. No idea if there's any substance to that. I believe that the Jets tried to make a trade before the deadline this year to make that happen, according to reports, and then it never materialized. But regardless, I'm still valuing both these guys as low-end wide receiver ones. Couple 49ers round out the top 12 for me, and that's Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, and if you think this is too high for them, I'll have you know that if you take out that Week 18 game where it didn't really matter for the Niners, the starters only played limited snaps, and if you just look at the first 16 contests, so the first 17 weeks of the season, Debo was the wide receiver 7 in fantasy points per game, Ayuk was the wide receiver 12, so even with that target competition in San Francisco, these guys can both finish as wide receiver ones in fantasy. Michael Pittman, he's wide receiver 13, and he's almost certainly going to stay in Indy. I know he's a free agent, but I think everything that we've seen really points to him sticking around with the Colts. And I mean, this season was so fantastic for him. 156 targets, that was 8th in the league. 109 catches, 1,152 yards, 4 scores. You gotta love it from him. This is just a monster breakout season, and it's hard not to like Pittman as a strong wide receiver two with wide receiver one upside moving forward. DJ Moore, he's next, and as expected, you get this guy a better quarterback, and he delivers you a career year. 96 grabs, 1,364 yards, and 8 touchdowns, all career best for him. The only question now is whether the Bears are going to keep rocking with Justin Fields, who Moore is certainly a big fan of. He's voiced his support for him, or if they go out and they draft Caleb Williams with the first overall pick. And at the moment, it seems like Williams is going to be the pick there, which means that they would trade Fields away, but long way to go before we get there. And we've already seen Chicago move off the number one pick once. That worked out pretty well for them, so we'll be watching to see what they do, but I'm operating as if Williams is going to be the Bears quarterback in 2024, and that's not necessarily a bad thing for Moore at all. Nico Collins is next, and I'm kind of surprised that people aren't even more in on Nico Collins. I get that Tank Dell missed some time, and Collins had huge games when Dell was sidelined, but Collins profiles as Stroud's number one receiver. Dell is great too, don't get me wrong. I have him at wide receiver 21 in my rankings, so both Texans wideouts are fantasy wide receiver twos, but Collins just put up this 80-12-97-8 season-long stat line, and he did it in basically 14 games because he missed 2 due to injury, and then he left very early in another. I would believe this breakout, and I know the Texans offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, he's probably going to leave for a head coaching job, but Stroud, Collins, Dell, this is legit, and my guess is that fantasy managers are going to get more excited about these guys the further we get into fantasy draft season. Right now, I have Collins as my dynasty wide receiver 12. That's how sold on him I am. The numbers tell the story here. I mean, his yards per route run was elite versus man, was elite versus zone. He's right up there with these top wideouts that we've already been talking about. Guys like Jefferson and Puka and AJ Brown and Ayuk. And I mean, Tyreek Hill, he's sort of in his own stratosphere in that group when it comes to yards per route run. But Collins belongs in that crew, and he is attached to one of the best young quarterbacks in the game right now, so be very excited about him. And I'm not going to go over every receiver in the rankings like this. I want to move through it a little bit quicker, but I want to hit on a bunch of these guys. So Chris Olave is next, 87 catches, over 1,100 yards, 5 touchdowns, looks the part of a number one receiver, and the Saints are in the market for a new OC. Hopefully that's a good thing for Olave, but he's right there in the wide receiver two conversation for fantasy, and he has the potential to move up too, especially if he gets a little positive touchdown regression. Mike Evans at wide receiver 17, another incredible season from Evans, and I talked about it before the year, how people were double counting the drop-off that was going to occur in this Bucs offense, that it wouldn't be a first to worst scenario, and they could easily settle in the middle somewhere. Well, Shout out to their offensive coordinator, Dave Canales, and to Baker Mayfield. They kept this train on the track, but Mike Evans just produces really no matter who's calling the plays, no matter who's under center, and he is a free agent this offseason. So maybe we'll see Evans in a new uniform in September. I would love to see him go somewhere like KC or somewhere else where there's an elite quarterback, but wherever Evans is, he's going to be underrated in fantasy drafts. So keep taking him just until the wheels fall off. We're riding with Evans. DK Metcalf, Amari Cooper, their wide receiver 18 and 19 for me. Both are boomer bust wide receiver ones on their teams, and that makes them wide receiver twos with wide receiver one upside any given week. Keenan Allen, he rounds out the top 20, but a lot of unknowns for Allen. And I talked about this on Wednesday's show when we went over Justin Herbert's outlook, but changes are coming in this Chargers offense. The team might have to make some tough decisions here for guys like Mike Williams and Keenan Allen just due to the cap situation. And Mike Williams coming off the ACL tear, I have him all the way down in the wide receiver three flex range. Meanwhile, Allen, he's aging very well in the field. And with Williams out for most of the year, Allen was third in fantasy points per game among wideouts. Now he's turning 32 this season, but he is still unbelievably productive. We'll just have to see what the Chargers are going to do here in terms of a new coaching staff, but also in that receiving core. Could see them draft somebody early too, which would kind of shake things up a bit, even though, you know, they might be a little bit gun shy with that just because last year's first rounder, Quentin Johnston, looks like he might be a bust. But Allen, Williams, they're sort of penciled in where they are right now in the rankings just until we see how everything works out in LA this offseason. Rashee Rice, wide receiver 22, nice rookie season from him. Really didn't start to see consistent playing time, meaning like over 50% of the snaps. That really didn't happen until like week 7. And from that point on, he was a top 20 fantasy receiver. So we'll have to watch to see what the Chiefs do this offseason, whether they bring in some more receiving help. I imagine that they will, but right now, Rice looks like the number one receiver in that offense, and he looks like a fantasy star. Jalen Waddle at wide receiver 23, Devonta Smith, wide receiver 24. These are two very talented pass catchers, but they're sort of limited in their offenses just because the presence of a real dominating top target. I mean, it's Tyreek Hill in Miami, it's AJ Brown in Philly, obviously. So if something happens to either of those guys, and we've seen this occur, or if for the Eagles case, I mean, if we see Dallas Goedert miss time like he did this year, then all of a sudden the ceiling can increase for somebody like Waddle or for Smith. But otherwise, they're really just volatile wide receiver twos. The big weeks are going to happen and you almost have to have them in your lineup, but you also got to accept that there's going to be some down weeks as well. George Pickens at wide receiver 25, and he remains just a polarizing fantasy asset, but he improved on all his numbers this year. And yes, there were some ups and downs. There were some frustrating things that occurred, like the lack of effort blocking in the run game at times, but he's also a playmaker and he just turned in a 63 catch, 1140 yard, 5-touchdown campaign. And he did that as a sophomore in the NFL. And I think some of that maturity stuff could improve and the talent is certainly there. So Pickens is someone that I'm still happily investing in, especially if the Steelers get a strong offensive coordinator in there for 2024. T. Higgins, so tentatively ranked here at wide receiver 26. That's because he's a free agent, and all expectations are he's going to end up elsewhere, so we'll see where that is eventually before we actually settle on this ranking. But Higgins has the talent to be a number one receiver in this league, so he's going to be a coveted player in real life and in fantasy, I think, once he gets that landing spot. I just want to know which offense and which quarterback he is going to be catching passes from before I really commit to a ranking for him. So in the right situation, he could move up maybe 10 spots. That's how much I like him. But if he ends up somewhere not as great, and we know there's a few teams out there that aren't ideal for receivers, if he ends up there, it might be 10 spots down. So that's kind of the range and the volatility that comes with Higgins' ranking right now. Cooper Kupp, so not the best year for him. He dealt with injuries. He's getting a little older, but he has a skill set that should translate as he ages, and he did come on a bit later in the year, so maybe a bounce back could come for him in 2024 if he can stay healthy. But Puka Nacua's presence, that means to me that Kupp is no longer going to be that elite fantasy wideout that he was before, so I'd consider him more that fringe wide receiver too now. Then we get into some younger wideouts, guys who they've shown us something, you know, they look like maybe they could be number one receivers and difference makers in their offenses, but they're still a projection because we haven't seen that huge season from them yet. And that's Jaden Reed on the Packers, who was just shut out in the wild card game. Yes, but the Packers, they played more two tight end sets in that one. We don't need to overanalyze one single game. We saw what he did throughout the year. I mean, Reed has some Deebo Samuel, some Robert Woods to his game. You know, they just find ways to get him the ball most weeks, even if it is as a rusher. And they really didn't need him against the Cowboys because everything was going right. It was a runaway contest for them. But Reed is my pick to be the most valuable Packers wideout in 2024. And long-term there. Flowers, he's going to need to find the end zone a few more times, but really hard not to like what you've seen from him so far in that Ravens offense, and he's only going to get better. He's only going to get stronger. And then Drake London, I mean, he's had two similar seasons, looks like a top target, but Atlanta just hasn't found him a quarterback. So if the new coaching staff, whoever that ends up being, whether it's Bill Belichick, who seems like the leader in the clubhouse at the moment, or someone else, if they can solve the quarterback issues, then London could make a massive leap up the rankings in 2024. And you wonder if it ends up being Belichick, does that mean Josh McDaniels could be the OC? And if it is Josh McDaniels, that's not the worst case scenario. I don't love Josh McDaniels as a head coach, but as an offensive coordinator, he can get the job done. It's just going to come down to who they get at quarterback this season. All right, that's 30 receivers that we've covered. We could go forever here, but let me just jump around a bit and hit on a few more before we get to tight end. So Chris Godwin is wide receiver 31. Very underappreciated. Fortunately, I mean, his wife had his back. She called out the coaching staff on social media partway through the season. After that, Godwin just came back to life. He finished the season very strong. And if Mike Evans does leave, Godwin is another guy that could really vault up the rankings. Calvin Ridley, wide receiver 32. He is one of the most boom or bust players out there. At times, he looked like an elite wideout this season. At times, just a forgotten man. So that makes him more of a volatile wide receiver 3, but still an intriguing option moving forward. Jackson Smith and Jigba, somebody that I have to highlight here, got a lot of flack this season, but he was also drafted to a team that had DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So the rookie ceiling for him was going to be capped. Maybe Lockett's gone in 2024. Even if he isn't, we're still going to see things shift towards JSN. Let's hope that the new coaching staff there is going to agree with us, but he is a talented player. There is no doubt about that, and I can't wait to see what he does the rest of his career starting in 2024. Some other guys who I could see outproducing their current ranking that I have them at, the other Packers wideouts. I mean, we've got to start with them, specifically looking at Christian Watson and Dontavian Wicks, but Romeo Dobbs made a case for himself last week, didn't he? So I want to invest in that Green Bay passing attack. Jordan Love is coming on. So those are guys that I want to target in fantasy drafts, and some of them are going to be cheaper. We're not going to see all of them higher up in drafts. So I hope that some of these other guys can carve out bigger slices of the pie. Maybe we can get some value there in upcoming fantasy drafts. Curtis Samuel, he's set to hit free agency, and he's a better player than people give him credit for. I still think the best is yet to come for him if he can land in the right spot. I'm also not giving up on Treylon Burks yet. I want to see him healthy for an extended stretch. I want to see what he can do out there when he gets a little more time to develop. Just hasn't really had that yet since he entered the pros. Marvin Mims, he should finally see more opportunity with the Broncos in 2024, so don't sleep on him, even though he had a very quiet rookie season. Rashid Shaheed, he's somebody that could absorb more targets in the Saints offense if Michael Thomas leaves New Orleans. Andre Yosivash on the Bengals, he could be the T. Higgins replacement there, so he's somebody that you could look to a little later in drafts. And then since we're diving deeper here, Trey Palmer on the Bucks. If Mike Evans leaves, Trey Palmer, look out, he could erupt. And then Tyler Scott on the Bears. If Darnell Mooney, if he leaves from Chicago, and if they don't take a wideout early in the draft, then all of a sudden Tyler Scott could potentially be the number two receiver in that offense. But we're going to spend more time breaking down, you know, the huge list of receivers that you could consider. We will go over it many times throughout the offseason, so don't worry about that. For now, we're going to shift over to tight ends, and for the first time in a while, things look a little different at the top of the tight end rankings at the start of the offseason, and that's Sam Laporta being my tight end 1, Trey McBride being my tight end 2, and you have the vets like Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, George Kittle. They're sliding down a couple spots, but they're still rounding out the top 5. And I think this should be obvious, but the rookie class this year, it was amazing, and it was not an accident. Laporta, he finished as the tight end one in fantasy points per game, and he was tied with Kelce, but they're heading in two very opposite directions in their careers. Laporta is the young star. He's going to be entering his second season. He can do it all, and the future looks very bright for him. Kelce is going to be 35 in the fall. He's shown a little bit of drop off in his game. He wasn't the same dominant player this past season. Still great, yeah, but not quite as consistent and didn't have as many big games this year, which is understandable at his age. But for me, that's enough reason to put my chips on the Laporta side. I'm giving him the nod as the tight end one overall. I don't even think we've seen his ceiling yet. And Trey McBride, he's second, and McBride kind of a tale of two halves to the season for him. The first half, he was sharing the field with Zach Ertz. Kyler Murray wasn't out there, but from week eight on, you have all these things start to happen for him. Ertz gets released, you have Murray return, and McBride turns into this target hog in that offense, and he was third in targets from that point on among tight ends. He was a top four fantasy tight end in PPR leagues, and we look for these tight ends who have a chance to be the number one or at least the number two target in their offense. I feel strongly that McBride is going to occupy one of those spots in Arizona in 2024, even if they do draft a top wideout like a Marvin Harrison Jr. or someone. So I'm very, very high on McBride. I think he is another young stud at tight end and somebody that you're going to feel great having in your lineup week to week. Then it's Kelce at tight end three, Mark Andrews at tight end four. And Andrews continues to deal with injuries. He also has more target competition with somebody like Zay Flowers in the mix in Baltimore. So Andrews could still move up once we see him back and healthy. Doesn't seem like that's going to happen this week, but if the Ravens advance, we could see Andrews back in the conference championship game. And he's still technically the top pass catcher for Lamar Jackson, but it's not uncontested at this point. You have a guy like Zay Flowers. Maybe they even add somebody else this offseason. So Andrews is going to have a few more sets of hands out there calling for the ball, but still somebody that is a very, very strong fantasy tight end play, obviously. And then I have Kittle at tight end five. He got off to a slow start, really heated up in the second half of the season, and that's kind of just Kittle's game, right? He's in this offense with two great wideouts, also has the best pass-catching running back in the game on the field with him. So Kittle is going to be streaky, but few tight ends have that ceiling that Kittle offers you week to week. He's followed by David Njoku, and Njoku really might deserve a spot in the top five, honestly. He's another guy that found his groove in the second half of the season. He was the top scoring fantasy tight end from week 8 to week 18. Let's hope that he could just pick up where he left off, but it does look like Njoku has found his place in that Browns offense, and it looks like fantasy managers are going to want to recognize that and are going to want to try to draft him in 2024. Evan Ingram, he's my tight end seven. I'm a little bit torn on him because he was pretty good this year for fantasy, but the Jags also dealt with a bunch of injuries at receiver. Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, they missed big chunks of the season due to injury, and Ingram's always somebody that excels in those situations when you see receivers go down. That was the case for him all the way back when he was on the Giants. So he's a solid tight end. I just wouldn't be surprised if he takes a step back in his production if the Jags have a healthy year from their receiving core in 2024. Dalton Kincaid at tight end eight, and he really could move into the top five easily. I mean, if the Bills want to commit to him the way that they did when Dawson Knox was out of the lineup, because Kincaid, he was a force during that stretch, and then he reverted a bit when Knox came back. And we've seen him pop up for a couple games since then, but Kincaid, he has a significant ceiling for fantasy if he gets more targets on a consistent basis. And we've seen it happen many times this season, so we know it's possible. Plus, and I don't want this to occur, but if the Bills don't win the Super Bowl, and if they suffer another really bad playoff loss, I could see Stephon Diggs forcing his way out of Buffalo. I mean, it almost seemed like that was going to happen last offseason. So if Diggs were to leave, I'm sure the Bills would bring in another receiver or two, but Kincaid's target share would certainly grow at that point. It's just all things to consider when you're talking about it this early in the offseason, but Buffalo's not going to suffer that bad playoff exit this year. That's what I'm sticking with. All right, TJ Hockenson, he's my tight end nine, and this is one that's just due to the injury. He tore his ACL and MCL in late December. No way that that's not going to impact the start of his campaign next year. Plus, you assume that Justin Jefferson is going to be healthier next season. You also have Kirk Cousins' future in Minnesota kind of in limbo, so Hockenson could finish strong in 2024, but I'm not sure that he's going to be a top five fantasy tight end again. After that, we get into a group of tight ends here that all have a lot of upside, but they also have some red flags too. So Cole Kmet leads them. I mean, he had a career year this season, 73 catches, 719 yards, 6 touchdowns, finished as the tight end 7 in fantasy points per game, but we don't have an OC yet in Chicago. We don't know who's going to be playing quarterback, whether it's going to be Fields or Caleb Williams. Could the Bears draft a wideout early? I think that's definitely possible if they stick with Fields. You know, there's really lots of unknowns for Kmet's outlook in 2024, but he's going to turn 25 in March. He is still a very young tight end, and he is showing that he is a very good tight end as well. So he's somebody that you could look to. Dallas Goedert, he's coming off a frustrating game where he let that displeasure be known on the sidelines. He seemed to be yelling at Jalen Hurts. He was upset about something. But Goddard's bigger problem is that he's often going to take a back seat to Brown and Smith in that offense. And unless one of them's out, Goddard's not going to be a great fantasy option most weeks. He's going to be more of a low-end tight end one or high-end tight end two. Jake Ferguson, he had a really solid campaign. I think he's locked down the starting job in Dallas, even though we got to remember the team drafted Luke Schoonmaker pretty high last year. So Ferguson, he could move up if we get those assurances that he's going to be the guy moving forward in Dallas. Kyle Pitts desperately needed a new coach, desperately needed a new quarterback. Looks like he is going to get both for 2024. So I'm holding out hope for him that he can eventually reach his ceiling or at least just become a more consistent tight end one for fantasy, even if it is a low end tight end one. I think we take that right now. Darren Waller, now he's hard to trust given the age, given the durability concerns, but he still has elite upside when he's healthy. So just look at him like the James Conner of tight ends. You know, you'll need to be able to fill those weeks that he misses, but when he's out there, he can still produce for you. Michael Mayer on the Raiders, kind of a quiet rookie season for him, just outside of a couple big games, but he should grow into a larger role in that offense and a quarterback upgrade probably on the way for him. Dalton Schultz, he's a free agent, so really no guarantees that he's going to get that CJ Stroud bump in 2024, and the situation is going to dictate his fantasy value, but not sure there's going to be a lot of spots where we're going to bump his value up, so he's down in the tight end two ranks. I love both the Packers tight ends, and it is very hard to rank them since I think they're going to cap each other's fantasy ceilings. Musgrave, he looked great early in the year, and then when he was sidelined, Kraft was awesome. Both guys showed they can be tight end ones for fantasy, but in Musgrave's first game back last week, Kraft ran more routes than him. Musgrave just beat him in the box score. So it's going to be a competition to monitor in the offseason to see if one of these guys can get a leg up, but could be a tough one for fantasy where they kind of cancel each other out a bit, which is very, very unfortunate. It's kind of like Isaiah Likely being stuck behind Mark Andrews, right? Isaiah Likely, one of the best handcuffed tight ends out there, a guy that we'd love to see starting week to week. And when he got his opportunity this year, he proved that he could be a tight end one. So hopefully we're going to see Likely eventually emerge as a consistent starter in an offense, whether that's in Baltimore or somewhere else. He's a guy that has the talent, and you want to see these guys with the talent get that opportunity. And then we'll finish off the top 20. I mean, Chigakonkwo finishes it off here, and he's been putting up okay yardage down the stretch this season. Didn't have many touchdowns in that Titans offense, but maybe things could change with a new coaching staff in 2024. I'm not super excited about him, but he's somebody that I'm keeping an eye on. I also still like Cade Otton, who could take on a bigger role if Mike Evans leaves the Bucs, and he's already flashed some potential there, even with Evans on the field, so Otten's a guy to watch. Tyler Conklin, he might get a boost from Aaron Rodgers returning, but we're going further down at this point here. This is more for tight end premium leagues for that one. Noah Fant, he's going to be a free agent, so maybe he can land in a spot where he's actually going to be a decent part of the offense and not have to play in a three-way committee like he was doing at times in Seattle. Brevin Jordan, somebody to monitor in Houston. If Schultz leaves, Jordan could see his value spike if he can take over that starting role. I've always liked Cole Turner. If you've listened to the show, you know that. I think he could be the replacement for Logan Thomas, so we'll see what happens there if Thomas sticks around or not, but Turner could be a sneaky deep stash. And really, lots of interesting names further down the tight end ranks, and if you're playing in Dynasty, I would be stashing some of these guys in the offseason because we've seen players at tight end kind of come out of nowhere and become stars. So Darnell Washington in Pittsburgh, Noah Gray as Travis Kelce's backup with the Chiefs, Jeremy Ruckert on the Jets, even Davis Allen on the Rams. I mean, Tyler Higbee just tore his ACL and MCL. Allen filled in pretty well for him at one point this season. We might see Allen start for the Rams in September if they don't bring in somebody else, but that's a name that I've been stashing on some deeper dynasty leagues. Regardless, that is all for today's show. So hopefully you found these two episodes useful this week. Just kind of gives you an idea of where I'm valuing players and how I'm looking at them right now, and just generally where my head's at in terms of what I'm expecting for 2024. And over the next couple weeks, we'll take an early look at free agency, who's going to be available there. We'll talk about this year's rookie class. We'll get an overview of the top prospects coming in. Just sort of setting the table for the offseason. So I'll be back with another episode next week. But until then, I want to say big thanks to my dad. It's his birthday this week. So if any of the guys that he works with at the arena, if any are listening, and I've been told that some of you tune into the show. So if you're hearing this, make sure you wish him a happy birthday, because he's going to hate it if you do. He hates being the center of attention. But big thanks and happy birthday to him. And big thanks to everybody out there for listening. And we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight.